Ninth. Thank you. The special music's been outstanding today. Has been all the last several weeks. Folks have gone above and beyond. I've enjoyed it. And thank you so much. It just ministers to my heart. And so thank you for the time and the practice time and the preparation time and all of the things that go into us receiving a blessing each and every Sunday. James chapter 4. We're going to look at verse number 13, read down through the end of the chapter. James chapter 4, verse 13. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. James 4 and verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. And Lord, this passage of scriptures we teach down through it, certainly it's been illustrated in our lives. And I think, Lord, we're going to look at it with fresh eyes and new understanding tonight. And thank you, Lord, for the word of God that helps us. Thank you, Lord. And I've said this, I prayed it, and I want to pray it publicly. I prayed it privately many times. I want to pray it publicly. Lord, as frustrating as the last 6 or 8 weeks have been, Lord, I want to thank you. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And Lord, I thank you for what it's taught us, and Lord, what we will retain from this experience. And I think, Lord, we're going to go forward better for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And the Bible starts out in verse number 13 by a little three-word phrase there, go to now. We're going to go back and revisit that in just a bit, go to now. Isn't that interesting? Go to now, go to now. So many times our mind is running ahead and thinking about tomorrow and thinking about, or sometimes our mind is running behind and concerned about something that happened and something that, you know, we can't control or something that we can't change or some regret that lingers back in the past. And you know what God says? Hey, sometimes you just need to tell your mind to go to now. But the main emphasis of this portion of scripture has to do with understanding that everything that we plan in life needs to be planned with respect to the will of God. And one of the things that was ingrained in me as a young man growing up, it just, dad got it early in his Christian life. Mom understood it early in her Christian life. Probably some good faithful pastor, or dad listened a lot to Oliver B. Green, so maybe Oliver B. Green put this in his heart. But one of the things that dads and moms start saying very early in their Christian life was this: anytime we would plan something for the future, they would always talk about it, and then when they got done, they would say, well, that's what our plans are, and that's what we're going to do. And then they added two little words, Lord willing. Lord willing. And I guess I had a title for the message tonight, it would be Lord willing. Lord willing. Because the Bible talks about this idea of being presumptuous in our planning. And this portion of scripture is not a warning against making future plans. Your pastor has told you one of the most important things, one of the most important tools to doing the things that you ought to do and staying on schedule, staying on track, is, and how many times have I walked up here with a calendar and said, good night, folks, let's start living on purpose. And so God's not against us making plans. He's against us having a presumptuous attitude when it comes to what we are going to do or what we're not going to do, where we begin to brag about it. Well, let me tell you what we have planned, and we kind of leave God out of it. Let me tell you where we're going next month. Let me tell you what I've got planned and what I'm going to do. And boy, if there's ever a time where it's been illustrated to us that all of our plans that we are so sure we're going to do and accomplish can just be wiped out, it's certainly been illustrated to us. I brought my day runner, my day planner that I keep in my office, and this is kind of where this is my life planner. I mean, this is, I come in, and the first thing I do, and every single day, is look in here. I look at what needs to be done that day. I need to look at the short-term, weekly things that I need to start working ahead on. I look at the next month, next coming 4 weeks, and begin to write lists and time deadlines of when certain things need to be prepped and prepared. And then I also use it, honestly, as one of my prayer tools. Because as I'm flipping through it for the next 2 or 3 months in advance, I can pray over our revival. I can pray over this brother that's coming to preach on a Wednesday night. And I can pray over this youth rally that I'm going to go speak on. So this is very important in my life. And I brought it to the platform for a reason, because if I've ever had it illustrated in my personal life concerning how quickly your future plans can just be completely rearranged, it's what's happened in the last few months. Now, folks, most of us have experienced this collectively because of the way that this affected all of us and our nation. But many of you could stand up and testify that maybe the whole economy and the country didn't shut down and I didn't get put on a stay-at-home order, but there has been personal events in our family life that absolutely took the next 2 or 3 weeks of everything we thought we were going to do and just changed it, you know. And, an unexpected sickness or a hospitalization or an accident or a family crisis of some kind. And so we've all experienced this individually, and I think as an entire church we had an opportunity to experience it together. But I was looking back at my calendar, and I looked at March 11th, and I drove down March 11th and preached to finish the revival for Nick Thompson and went down there and had somebody else cover the pulpit for me that night. And then the next date on the calendar is March 16th and 17th, and I was going to preach a two-night revival for Brother Reiser. And when I drove home from that, I had no idea that everything after that that I had written down, and had some of this written down for months in advance, some of them for over a year in advance, was about to just be wiped out. And so I was looking back and just kind of laughing. The 21st of March, I was going to get on a plane and fly to Minnesota. It was Friday night. A Friday night, I was going to get on a plane, fly to Minnesota, preach a youth rally that morning, fly back that afternoon, and guess what? All of a sudden, they're canceling flights, and all of a sudden they're canceling the youth rally, and the pastor kept trying to figure out a way to have it, and finally he called me and said, we're just going to have to cancel. And at that point, I never saw that was the first domino that was going to knock down a bunch of other dominoes. We had our church after evening service fellowship on the 22nd. There it is on my calendar. Guess what? Didn't happen. Business meeting on March 25th. Didn't happen. They had Blessed Hope Baptist a teen activity on the 30th. Didn't happen. Hal Hightower, who for years had come here and preached revivals, called me up and said, hey, would you come up on a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday and preach a revival for me? And I said, this is all backwards, Brother Hightower. I don't come preach your revivals. You come preach my revivals. But he since took a pastor and wanted me to come. And guess what? Canceled. Didn't happen. Now we turn over into April. Brother Roger Bottrell. I mean, it was on our church calendar, folks. Come on, I typed it out on our church calendar. When I do that, it's supposed to happen. Didn't happen. I was going to go to Massillon Bible College and do 2 days of teaching on a Thursday and Friday and preach a teen rally. Guess what? Didn't happen. I'm looking at our spring program, and guess what? We had cards made up. Did you see the nice cards? Anybody actually ever get to see them? There's a few left. I want you to show you how nice they are. And I couldn't wait to get them in your hands, and we were going to start scattering them everywhere and tell everybody what we were going to do. And guess what? Spring training Sunday didn't happen. High fly Sunday didn't happen. Friends and family Sunday didn't happen. And crush the competition Sunday didn't happen. And I've been waiting for 3 years to get Sam Davison here for a revival. Guess what? Didn't happen. Going to go down to Lexington and preach chapel for them. And Brother Jorgensen said, now, Brother Ross, you can come. None of the students are here, but if it would make you feel good, you can still come. And didn't happen, okay? I was going to go over to Brother Turner's and preach a two-day youth rally. Didn't happen. We were going to sneak down Shelton Smith celebrating 25 years as editor of the Sword of the Lord. And they'd planned a little get-together there, and I was going to go down and just drive down on a Friday and attend that and turn around and really just drive back. Guess what? Got canceled. Didn't happen. And I'm looking down through. We could keep going. But the honest truth is, folks, I can go past May and look over into June, and I've got things written down. Will they happen? Don't know. Can I say this? Lord willing. Lord willing. Okay, preacher, you put some things in the bulletin. Are you sure those are going to happen? Lord willing. I think if there's ever been a time where it's brought that back into our vocabulary, and we know it, and we really understand it, and we really mean it, maybe the events of these past days have done that. You know, we're going to have VBS, Lord willing. Faith's was going to have her graduation last month, and Faith Riser, and they wanted me to come down and preach her graduation. And I was so excited to be able to come do that. Guess what Brother Riser called and said, we're going to have to postpone it. Now it's pushed into June. So I've got it on my calendar. I'm looking right at it, June 20th. So are you going to go preach that? Lord willing, Lord willing. Are we going to have a Father's Day service? Lord willing, Lord willing. You know, some of these other things that are on the calendar during the summer, what about teen? People ask me, what about teen camp? What about junior camp? You know, everybody's saying right now, Lord willing, Lord willing. You know, I called the camps. Because a lot of my friends, for years I preached in a lot of teen camps, and I love the camps, and I love the camp ministry, and I finally took myself out of all the rotation for that, but I keep in contact with them, and I'm calling Dave Smith. And I said, Brother Dave, are you guys on? He said, we're praying and preparing like it's going to happen. That's all I can tell you. You know what he said before he hung up? Lord willing, Lord willing. You know, folks, can I say this? That's really a good way to live your life. It really is. You know what, Lord, I believe in my heart that you want me to do this, or you want our family to do this, or you want our church to do this. And Lord, we're going to, by faith, put it on the calendar. But you know, it's good to just kind of relax back into the idea that whatever God allows, he allows. And if God doesn't allow something, then he had a reason for it. And we just live our lives according to God's will and not our presumption. And like I said before, we do need to be very careful in this area of boasting. The Bible says in verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now, the only problem with that statement, you didn't hear the phrase Lord willing in there anywhere. You didn't hear any mention of God anywhere. To somebody who doesn't understand the Bible, it would not have sounded like that was a statement that was sinful. But God saw it as sinful. Notice what he says in verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. You know why some people miss some of their future dates and events? Because they're not alive to do it. You know, there's a calendar full. I mean, I've got all the way into 2021. Folks, here it is. I mean, I've got several things already in the calendar of 2021. Do you realize 2021, I may be watching from the portals of heaven, seeing what y'all are up to, you know? And that may be where, listen, that's why everything we plan, we say, Lord willing, Lord willing. And to not do that is to be presumptuous. The Bible reminds us our life is a vapor. It appears for a short time. And then he goes on to say, for that ye ought to say. Okay, if verse 13 is not what we should say, then what should we say? For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So it's okay to say, we're planning to do this. We're planning to do that. Always according to the will of God. Always as God wills in our life. And this is where he comes in condemnation of the attitude of verse number 13, if you look in verse 16, but now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. And he said, listen, stop planning your lives with no regard to the will of God. Stop boasting or being presumptuous as if you're going to do this or you're going to do that. And folks, we got to be very careful. You say, well, I don't think I need to say the end of Lord willing at anything, at after everything I say. Well, you don't. But in your heart, you better understand it. And by the way, could I say this? What would it hurt to say it? Might be a good testimony out in the community as you're talking to lost people. And you make an appointment with the lost man. And he says, now you're still going to be here next Thursday at 6 o'clock. And you know what you should say to him? Well, Lord willing, Lord willing. Well, they'll look at you funny. Well, let them look at you funny. You know what? The Lord ought to be brought into, listen, this is what God's teaching us. The Lord ought to be brought into every nuance of our life, in all of our plans, in everybody we have contact with. They need to understand that we live and function according to God's good grace and within his will. And if he wills for something to happen, it will. And if he does not will for something to happen, then it won't. This will help you in this matter of frustration in your life, to be honest with you. Because sometimes we plan something, and I'm sure you felt some of that. We had several of the folks that I talked to during the process of this that had planned little getaways and mini vacations and trips to go here. And all of a sudden, everything that they'd planned in advance and some things that they'd prepaid for, and all of a sudden it was, but wait a minute. When you're a child of God and you understand this Bible principle, you know, I'm not saying there's not a measure of disappointment, but you know what? You can understand that if God shut the door on that thing, he had a good reason for it. And you know what? Maybe we'll have to get to heaven to find out what he saved us from by not going on that trip. And sometimes we get so frustrated. Hey, wait a minute. Just relax. Hey, God's in control of all of this. And if he green lights something, allows it to happen, then enjoy it and rejoice in it and have a great time. But there's going to be times where all of a sudden he puts the halts to something. And you know what? That's okay too. Whatever the Lord wills, whatever the Lord wants, that's what I want. I think we need to guard against being presumptuous. How do we do that? We keep some of these truths in our mind. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know that, but God does. And so because I don't know that, that keeps me from being presumptuous. I can't predict what kind of a state we'll be in a week from now. And I think one of the really neat things, and I say this because it was frustrating, but one of the neat things in the first 2 or 3 weeks of this was the fact that things were so fluid. And you know what? I think I would have a decision of what we can do. And you know what? Based on the information we had. So you know how many 2-week plans I ended up coming up with, folks, that we didn't even get through 2 weeks on, you know? Here's my new 2-week plan. I told Cheryl, I'm going to start making 2-hour plans. And maybe we can pull off the 2. But you know what? We kind of just finally had to just say, okay, Lord, you know what? Maybe we ought to just go to now. Okay, maybe we ought to focus more on what you want us to do today than whether or not we're worried about what we're going to be able to do down the road. What did you put in front of us today? So we do not know what tomorrow will bring. Our life is a vapor, appears for a short time, that vanishes away. That's in God's hands. That's according to God's will. And the Lord's will should always, listen to this, the Lord's will always should trump our will. And so, you know what? Even though I have plans or I have, and by the way, good things, I hope, I mean, positive things. I think things that, you know, everything that I looked on that calendar, I don't think God canceled them because they were evil or bad. Or, I mean, we were going to advance the kingdom of God, opportunities to be a blessing and a help, and opportunities to preach the word of God and different things that we were going to do, revival. I mean, that's a great thing, revival and all of these things. But wait, you know what? Whatever, God. And you know, sometimes when God shuts down our future plans, we've got to make a choice at that point. Because what we can do is just kind of live frustrated, mad, and the 2 or 3 days where we were going to do that, we can sit around and just be frustrated and upset and bitter in our hearts that it didn't happen, you know. But I think one of the great lessons that God has taught me, and I want to share this tonight, one of the great lessons God taught me during this time, and I think I preached on a message on this, she had done what she could. And you know, was, okay, I can sit here and go crazy over the things that I all of a sudden can't do that I planned on doing. Or I could start saying, okay, Lord, if you canceled it, then what is it you want me to do? What is it you wanted me to do? And one of our members came to me and said, Preacher, I think in this time that our church has gone through, one of the great things that you led the church in, both verbally and by example, was if God changes your plans and you don't get to do what you want to do, don't just sit down and do nothing. What can God, if God stopped your life to that extent, what is it that he wants you to focus on? Because we still have now. We still have today. And so I can spend my life frustrated, or I can say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And honestly, I was able to advance. I won't go through the whole list, but folks, I was able to advance some things and get some things done that I would not have gotten done if God hadn't kind of just shut our lives down for a while. And, you know, I've been wanting to do a Bible study. We're going to do it, Lord willing. I've just got to get God's heart on when, but it's mostly done. But I've got probably a 5 or 6 week, preaching series now developed on the matter of grief and how to deal with grief. And I knew that the Lord wanted me to do that and develop that. And you know what? We all are touched by it. And where does grief and sorrow come from? And I mean, folks, Genesis, Revelation, I studied it out, I mean, hours and hours, probably about 40, 50 hours in that one Bible study to develop those series of lessons to help our people. It's done. It wouldn't have been done. I may have been a year working on that thing. Maybe God just needed, maybe somebody needs that faster than I realize, and God said, we'll shut down. Now, wait a minute. I could just sit there and just been upset and mad and, you know, get on the internet and read all the crazy articles and watch all the crazy videos and you know, get on the conspiracy websites and start talking about this. And you know, folks, you got to decide what you're going to do, okay? But I was able to get that done. I started a small book. We did the Mountain Lessons book, and I had started a book and then laid it off to the side because I just got too busy to mess with it on our fishing trip, a men's retreat called Lake Lessons. And you know what I did? I pulled that manuscript back up. Guess what? It's done. Miss Rachel just finished the final proof on it, and she does a good job. She finds things. It's really kind of frustrating, to be honest with you. I think it's perfect, and I give it to her. And I know how you students feel that it's in her class, because when you get your papers back and there's red marks all over it, I'm getting the same thing. I'm getting the paper back with a manuscript back with red marks all over it. And but you know what? It's done. It's done. Been working on the next series of 114 lessons. And you know, and guess what? We were able to advance that. Had it about a fourth of the way done. Now it's almost two-thirds of the way done, just pecking away at it. And are you listening to me? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Okay, guess what? I didn't get to go some of these places and spend that time preaching. So what am I going to do with that time? And folks, I just want to encourage you and to remind you, you know, if God's given you today, don't waste it in regret, because you can't change the past. And don't waste it in worry, because God's got the future. Okay? Tomorrow's in His hand. Okay? That's out of my control anyway. I don't know. I don't know if I have tomorrow, but I know I have tonight. So I'm going to put my heart into what I'm doing right now. Go to now. Go to now. Learn something right now in this service. Okay? Don't daydream during a message about what you're going to do or relive something you did do. Stay in now, because that's all we know for sure that we have. And so, especially in this matter, a great warning not to be boastfully presumptuous. Bible says if you're boastfully presumptuous, it's evil. And I mean that. I want you to hear that. The Bible says it's evil. You know, evil's different than sinful. The Bible says, now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. You know, when a young man or a young lady all of a sudden decides they're not interested in the will of God or God's word or God's way, and all of a sudden they start boastfully, well, I'm going to go here and I'm going to do this and I'm going to have this and I'm going to be this. Whether you realize it or not, that's evil in the sight of God. To plan your life and plan your future with no regard to the will of God is not just sinful in God's eyes, it is evil in God's eyes. And so He gives us that warning. And you know what? Many a person has planned what they were going to do and boasted about it. And I think up in heaven, God laughs. God laughs. He says, son, daughter, I'm patient and I'm merciful. But you wouldn't take the next breath if I didn't will for it to happen. And God can bring anybody's life to a screeching halt. And all of the things that you want to boastfully, presumptuously, you know, proclaim that you're going to be and do is ultimately in the hands of God, whether that is allowed or not. So, preacher, what's the summarization of the message? What do we go home with? All right, I'm going to read and comment on five things. Don't worry, we're not starting a five-point sermon right now. I want to give you five thoughts to go home with. Number one, what does the phrase go to now mean? Live the day you've been given. Live that day. Okay? It is a very biblical concept to take life one day at a time. That doesn't mean that part of that day I do not spend perhaps in planning or prepping for something that's coming. But you know what? Don't miss the opportunity God's given you today because you're so focused on what's going to happen tomorrow. So number one, live the day you've been given. Number two, make future plans with the understanding that they will only come to pass if God wills. Make future plans with the understanding they will only come to pass if the Lord will. If the Lord will. Number three, use your vapor. Use your vapor. Your little time to find the will of God and do it. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how much fun you think you're having. You live in this earth and you breathe and you exist and you die and stand before God and you missed His purpose and His will for your life. You are a failure. I don't care what the world believes or what the world thinks or what you think you accomplished. You know what? Use your vapor, the little time God's given you, because this is a short time. It's going to appear for a short time and vanish it away. Okay? Find the will of God and do it. Number four, never boastfully rejoice about what you will do or will not do. Never boastfully rejoice about what you will do or will not do. Don't take that attitude into life. Because God can change your entire life in a second's time. Number five, don't pass up a chance to do good using the excuse, I'll do it later. You don't know if you'll have later. Which brings us to the closing verse, verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now that verse is in context with everything that we've just learned. So even though it's an umbrella principle, it's very specific to the context here. He said, understanding that we don't know what tomorrow holds and understanding that our life is a vapor and only understanding that God will have to will it if it's going to happen. He said, if right now, in now, when you go to now and right in front of you is a chance to do good, don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Don't excuse the opportunity away. You may never have another chance to do that. And so don't pass up a chance to do good using the excuse, I'll do it later. Hey, tomorrow morning when you wake up, it might be good to start with three words. The introductory phrase of verse number 13, go to now. Focus on what God is going to let you do tomorrow. And if you wake up, thank God for another day that He's given you. He's gifted you that. And go forward in it in faith. And do the will of God. And don't pass up a chance to be a blessing or do something for someone that's good that God puts right in front of you. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Because that's a great way to live. It's the way we live by faith. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the many lessons that we have learned, Lord, during the last 5 or 6 weeks. And Lord, thank you for the lessons that you've taught me. And Lord, we want to take these principles. Maybe most of the things we probably already knew, but boy, we sure are seeing them in a totally different light. And I thank you, Lord, for the way that you've reminded me, dear God, as I have been looking ahead. I mean, January, I prepared for some things, and I prayed for some things, and prepped for some things, and February, and looking forward to these things, and all of a sudden, a reminder. Hey, preacher. Don't make any plans without adding two little words, Lord willing. Don't get so caught up in what's going to happen in 3 weeks or might not happen in 3 weeks that you miss the opportunity to do the will of God today. Help us to take these lessons, Lord, bring them to our soul and to our heart. We pray these things in Jesus' name.